Hello everyone, welcome to The Road to Cheltenham. It's a new show for Racing TV. You'll see it weekly at this time. Most weeks I'm going to be joined by Ruby Walsh, the man there on my left. And the concept of this show, just in case you're not familiar with it, is to look back on what's happened over the previous 7 days with a view to long-term projections for the Cheltenham Festival. However, this is not a show that sacrifices the entire jump season on 4 days at Cheltenham. We'll be enjoying all the significant targets en route. We'll also be thinking about Aintree and Punchestown beyond Cheltenham, won't we?
We surely will, because there's plenty of horses that won't win in Cheltenham that'll win in both of those places.
Exactly, and there are some really good races to be won en route as well.
Oh, there is, but I mean, the season, especially in the UK, it builds to Christmas. In Ireland, it builds a bit slower, but it builds to Christmas here, so Christmas is big targets for a lot of these horses.
And Christmas is a bit of a bonanza in Ireland, so many good races.
It does, but if you think that this weekend is probably, you had Down Royal, but this weekend in Fairy House, big novice clashes, then you have Christmas, Dublin Racing Festival, Cheltenham, Aintree, Punchestown, Fairy House in there as well. It builds that way, where you've already had the November meeting, you had the Charlie Hall, Betfair, they're all over here.
So we did earlier. Tell quite nicely actually then.
You do, yeah, but just definitely starts a bit earlier in England, finishes a bit later in Ireland.
Okay, so we're going to have a look at what some of the things that I focused on in the column this week. We're going to get Ruby's take on the various horses. We're also going to get what you're talking about as a result of the Road to Cheltenham. We thought the obvious place to start was Lost in Translation, who, of course, stepped up as a second season novice to win the Betfair Chase. He downed Bristol Dumais in his manner, which was quite an impressive performance. Now, beforehand, I thought we were just going to see flashes of ability from a second season novice who was going to show that in time he was going to be able to be good enough to be considered for the King George and the Gold Cup. Actually, we got the whole light show here from Lost in Translation.
We did, and I did tip him in my paper, Irish Examiner article, so I'm not saying it in hindsight. I did fancy him. I thought with a run under his belt in Carlisle, and I think that JLT form is rock solid with Defi Desai and even the horses behind him, Void of Rev, Real Steel. There's so many of them in that race. That novice race in particular is rock solid. And I did fancy the younger horse taking on the older one.
OK, well, let's see what happened. Bristol Dumais went out in front. Frodon wasn't able to... He tried intermittently to press him, but in the end, he's beaten already at this point. Meanwhile, Robbie Power's pretty happy on Lost in Translation.
You probably have done the sections on this to an extent, would you have? Did they go steady early?
Yeah.
I thought they did to the naked eye as well. I was there. And then I thought, having gone steady, Darrell had to turn the screw quite early in the back straight, which turned it into a fair test of stamina. But maybe had he gone harder from the word go on his own horse, he might have had a bit more left at the end. Having said that, Robbie Power says he went too soon. He probably did. He got closer than he wanted to go into that fence, and now he's committed a long way down. He gets close to the second last. Look, you see Robbie's hands, they rise here as he shortens him up to pop it, gets in a bit tight, and it's from here that Lost in Translation impresses. He battles back to get in front, and then he's doing nothing from the line up. And I actually think Bristol Dumais, I read that the Cheltenham Gold Cup is a target. I think he's tailor-made for Leopardstown.
For the Savile Chase?
Or the Irish Gold Cup.
Right, okay.
The way he jumps and gallops. Never that many front runners in Ireland. Could be plenty soft in Leopardstown this year. I think he's a horse for that place.
That's a really good shout, actually. It'd be interesting because they had quite a low-key run-up to the Gold Cup last year with Bristol Dumais and actually produced his best performance at Cheltenham.
It did, but he's run in Cheltenham 4 times. Two Gold Cups, JLT, and he had another run at Cheltenham. He's 0-4 in Cheltenham.
It hasn't seen him at his best.
It hasn't, but that doesn't mean he's not a brilliant horse. It's just Cheltenham hasn't seen him at his best, whereas Haydock has. And I think the way he jumps and gallops, you face down the back straight and Leopardstown on him, he'd be some thrill to ride.
I would, like you, I would contest that Bristol Dumais probably wasn't at his absolute best. I mean, it was his seasonal debut. I don't think he was bringing his absolute, 57 length grade one win A game there that Lost in Translation down. But nonetheless, that needed to be a pretty good performance from Lost in Translation to get past him.
It was, but when you look more at Lost in Translation and look at him last year, he was out sprinted by Defi Desai on 3 occasions. He battled back to beat him on 1 occasion. And then when he stepped up in entry to 3 miles and won, he looked a really improved horse. And I'd say ridden for a bit of pace over an extreme trip really suits him.
Yeah, those patient tactics really do seem to have worked, haven't they, with the combination of stepping up in trip.
Definitely, but you're probably at 2.5 always riding him for stamina, whereas up in trip you can ride him for a bit of gears, ride him more like a racehorse than a motorbike.
The next question, of course, for Lost in Translation is, you know, can he go right-handed? Because obviously he's got the first leg of the Jockey Club race course's £1 million bonus. Obviously, the next place to go is the King George. So we've dug out a couple of, one instance, actually, of Lost in Translation going right-handed. And this is when he was second to Defi de Soy in the Scilly Isles over 2.5 miles last season. Now, to the eye, I don't have an issue with him going right-handed. However, Colin Tizard does say something interesting afterwards. What do you make of just looking at it?
He shifted a bit left there, but he's in front. His two ears are pricked. He's pretty straight at that fence. Now, he shifted right at the first railway to get himself in a position to jump the fence, or shifted left even. And you see him, he tightened up there and went fractionally left. To me, he's not jumping left. Now, Richard Johnson did say that he lugged a bit left all the way. Richard, is he sticking his right hand all the time, all the same? So he can't have been lugging that much. He got went a fraction left there, but Richard still didn't switch over. So he obviously didn't feel at the time that left was a big issue for him. But look, he got out sprinted here by Defi de Soy on the day. I don't think going left or going right, whichever way they're going right, would be an issue for him. I don't think so, Neil.
Neither do I. I've got a pretty open mind about it. You rode Quarto Star, for example.
Yeah, and he always shifted left. Yeah, he won 5 King Georges and he only won 2 Gold Cups. He won 2 Tingle Creeks and he always shifted to his left. Maybe Sandown makes you do that. Kempton, he always ended up down the middle of the home straight in the King George. He never came down under the stand rail or the far side inside rail. He always ended up out in the middle of the track going left.
Let's have a look at that quote that I was mentioning from Colin Tizard. Richard thought he was probably lugging a little bit left-handed. That kind of comes into the... They were looking at Cheltenham at the time, weren't they? And they were looking for reasons to beat Defi de Soy. It kind of, you know, it's in the psychology of that.
Of course, and you can see why. I mean, if you're thinking, right, Defi de Soy has beaten us a half a length. If we can just get back that length or length and a half, we may have given away jumping a bit to our left by going left-handed. We've a chance of beating him. But as it turned out, they didn't. Defi de Soy is just too quick for him.
So does he win the King George, Lost in Translation?
He's a brilliant chance, but I would personally hate to have a bet in the King George.
Right now or at all?
At all.
Go on, why?
I just think there's too many horses that could win it.
It's a really strong addition this year,
really strong addition and a really open addition. And, like, I mean, you can look down through them and we'll get to some of them in a while. I just think there are too many horses that you could say can win the race. That to me is not an idea of a betting proposition.
You're learning. Let's move on to Surname, shall we, and discuss him. And the point about that was you were less convinced about Surname going into the weekend,
yeah,
weren't
completely.
You?
I had to text Paul Nicholls on Sunday morning and even tell him I was wrong, which is good for me to say I was wrong.
Mark the date and time.
Yeah, mark the date and time. But I was very impressed with him. I thought Harry Cobden gave him a great ride. Without going hard, he dragged Altior from a long way out. He jumped brilliantly. And he proved that the handicapper was right as well.
Well, handicappers and time analysts have always been very keen on Surname. Let's see what Paul Nicholls, his trainer, said immediately after the race. He said he acknowledged that the horse loves going right-handed. Thinking about the King George, he said that I'm sure that 3 miles around Kempton will play to his strengths. And then referring to later on in the season, whether the horse might go left-handed for a target at the Cheltenham Festival, he said, I'm sure one day it'll happen. And that is backtracking to some degree, because all the way through this horse's career, he's been talking about wanting it to go right-handed. Harry Cobden has been talking about wanting him wanted to go right-handed. Harry Derham has been talking about needing to go right-handed. So interesting temptation where you can resist everything apart from that. So with Surname, we've also got the same left-handed, right-handed thing. We've also got the will he stay thing. Let's start with the will he stay thing.
I think he can stay. Having said that, Altior was probably stronger the last half of furlong than Surname the other day. But I think he could stay, possibly. But I think, unlike Lost in Translation, there is more proof to suggest Surname does have an issue going left-handed.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So we're thinking fine for the King George. You're thinking he might stay. I've got my doubts myself. He looks really pacey. I think he'll be really suited by the race for a long way, but not the end.
Yeah, I know, and it goes against probably a lot of things, I think. But Florida Pearl wasn't a dour stare. Edgerton Blue wasn't a dour stare. They just were able to get in control of a race and go at a tempo that suited stare, that had stares behind them going as fast as they wanted to go, yet they were still within their own comfort zone. And I think that could be the case for Surname. Harry Cobden could get... And if I was Harry Cobden, I'd probably go with Surname.
Rather than Clandestine.
I think so, yeah. I think you could just get dictating to King George. And the way he jumps as well, I think you'll be able to Ping won't take him back. Keep getting breeders. I think he'll get home in the King George.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. And why not Clan des Aubeaux?
Why not Clan des Aubeaux? I think he was really well trained last year to win Wee King George.
And you just said it looks like a fabulously strong King George.
Yeah. I know he bolted in last year, but Thistlecrack was 11. Yeah, the river never turned up. I just think there was question marks about the form. He got well beaten in the Gold Cup. He was second in Down Royal, but to look at them in the parade ring in Down Royal, Clan des Aubeaux looked as light as Road to Respect, but he got well put in his place by Road to Respect.
Let's go with the scenario that Surname wins or runs extremely well in the King George. What happens next in his season, do you reckon?
He goes to Ascot.
For 2 mile 5, grade one.
Yeah, and I would say the temptation then, probably depending on what else Paul Nicholls has. If Frodan has regained some spark, which he doesn't have at the minute. Obviously, top of the game is out. Clan des Aubeaux, he doesn't look to have an outstanding Gold Cup horse. Will he bite? I think it's a long way off. I don't know. It'll depend. If he hits the line strong in the King George, he'll take his chance. If he falls over it, he won't.
And so, therefore, I mean, if he hits the line strong in the King George, they'll try the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
The Ryanair was the first left-handed assignment that Paul Nicholls initially mentioned. Yeah. Is there any chance he could run in the Champion Chase?
I wouldn't put it beyond Paul Nicholls. He won a Betfair Chase with Cardo Star and ran him in the Tingle Creek 2 weeks later. He could.
Do you think he's got the speed for it?
I think he has the pace. It's pace more than speed you need in a Champion Chase. He has the pace and he attacks his fences.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Let's have a quick blast of Surname going to his right, that's correct, at Newbury, right? Okay, so this is this time 2 years ago, he's in novice company. Clearly he's a much improved horse since then, but this is how he handled a left-handed track.
And there's one thing missing as well, the hood. He's a much more relaxed horse now and obviously a much easier horse to ride, but you only have to look at the horse on the inside in black and look where Sir Nanky's landing, even look at the loose horse, how far out he's gone, and even behind getting the lead he's still landing way out. So no, look, he may be a more relaxed horse now, a more mature horse now, but that doesn't mean he's not going to give that tendency to go that way.
So the first time, I reckon, and it sounds like you reckon too, that he's going to face a grade one left-handed task will be at the Cheltenham Festival.
I do, because where does he go? Is he going to go to the Denman Chase? I can't see it, not with the grade one in Ascot worth all the money. He's on a track he loves. He's going to go back there. So where else does he go right-handed? He's not going to come to the left-handed. He's not going to come to Leopardstown. He's going to go to Ascot. So he's going to go to Christmas to King George, and then he's going to go to Ascot.
Be interesting to see in January whether he's entered in all three grade one chases or just a couple of them. What do you think?
Can we get a price on that?
Somebody might offer one.
Yeah, I'd have a bet on that.
Okay, so we've talked about Surname. How about the horse with a massive reputation that had a 19-race unbeaten run? A certain Altior, a fabulous horse, of course. This is the discussions that we've had that have sparked the most debate from all of you. I suggested in my column that I can't for the life of me work out, after losing ground at his fences over 2 mile 5 furlongs, Altior should be trimmed for the Premier Grade 1 event over 2 miles. What's your take?
I don't know. Look, I've always thought that he's a brilliant, brilliant racehorse. There's no doubt about that. I've always thought he's just been a very careful jumper. And as he's gotten older, he's gotten a little bit more careful. I think that was evident enough on Saturday when you saw what Surname was doing in front of him. He just has gotten careful. And with some younger two-milers coming that are going to jump through the air and attack fences, as everybody gets older, they get a little slower. And Altior is no different than that. So I still think that I don't think he'll run the King George, and I still think he'll run the Ryanair.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so what's the plan B for the King George? Because immediately after the race, Nicky Henderson was like, no, King George is still the plan, and his feet have been getting colder in the days since.
I don't think his feet have been getting colder. I think that's doing what a trainer has to do. I don't think he thought Altior would have quite a hard a race as he had in Ascot. I'd say, having watching Altior every morning, he's obviously a very fast horse. I'd say Nicky thought when he went up in trip that Altior would be galloping, running away behind Surname all the way, would pull out to have his go going to the last fence. And if he got tired and he got beat, so be it. But I don't think Nicky Henderson saw Altior being dragged from Swindley Bottom and having a grueling race first time out. And that is why Nicky is saying he's going to wait before he makes a decision on the King George. That is the right thing to do, and that is telling the truth. He'll see if Altior gets back savage in his food, starts bucking, comes back alive, and then he'll make his mind up. But he'll have to wait for all those things. I don't think he thought the Ascot race would be as hard a race as it was.
So he's reacting to events, fine. And so the King George, which was the reason to move from 2 miles to have a different kind of campaign this season, so that is shelved. What does he do next?
It's not... I suppose I'm being a bit harsh and I don't think he'll run. I just think it could take him longer to get over a defeat and as hard a race. He might bounce back out of it. He has a bit of age on his side. What's after that then? What's early in January in the English programme? I know the Kinloch Braes and Thurles. What's in England?
I'm thinking more generally, is he going to drop back to two? I mean, because that is the division that he's been marching all over.
Could see him dropping back to the Desert Arc or the Kempton. Because what's like, unless Defi Desai runs in the Tingle Creek on the 8th and 9th of December, is he going to pull out again on the 26th? Mm. Possibly not. That's a tight gap from the Tingle Creek to there. Or does he go to the Clarence House in January? But I could see Altior's next run being right back in Trip. And then I can see him stepping out in the Ryanair.
You were hinting that you thought, I thought you were last week anyway, I might be wrong, that you thought some headgear might help?
I think a pair of cheek pieces maybe to get him through the air might help.
Yeah, and when would you put them on?
Probably wouldn't put them on in the Grade 2. I wouldn't put them on the Desert Orchard. Mm. I'd put them on the Clarence House maybe if I was going there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's see what everybody else made
of
this.
Or the King George. Would I put him on the King George? I probably would.
Would you? Going up in Trip and the Cheek Piece at the same time?
We saw the other day, he's not going to be keen. He needs to jump through the air so Nico de Bonneville can land at the back of every fence and go, whoa. Not land and go, go.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, let's see what everybody else thought, because this has generated a lot of chat on the tweet machine. We can start with, this is my favourite. Well, actually, it's my second favourite. It's... absolutely clueless to be saying something like that. He means me.
You sure? He didn't mean me?
And she's getting paid as well.
Well, you're not entitled to get paid, no.
Well, not for opinions like that, clearly. He thinks going to the Ryanair is ridiculous. Obviously, he's going to go for the champion chase. Why do you think he might end up at the Ryanair?
Which way? You just text him back and ask him for 20 to 1.
ask him to lay odds.
Well, if he's that sure about it and thinks you're that clueless, ask him for 20 to 1.
David, let's do business. Let's see if we can do business here. Another David. This is David Johnson, who works for Timeform, and his reaction was, could it be argued that his chance of running in the champion chase actually increased after Saturday's defeat? That wouldn't be much of an argument, seeing as that's what everybody seems to think. The bookmakers cut him for the champion chase, lengthened him for the Ryanair. And to me, I mean, I can see that they put headgear on and get him quicker across the fences and ends up in the champion chase. I can see that, because the temptation must be to go for three champion chases. At the same time, if that doesn't make him click back in, then the Ryanair, to me, remains quite a viable option.
I think it does too. And we're guessing. We're trying to guess three runs
down.
That's
the fun of it.
I know. We're trying to guess three runs down the line. What's going to happen? What might or might not be. But yeah, I just think a bit of age. He's getting up in Trip.
Age. It's interesting you mention age, because we've also got Tony Calvin is saying, it was talking about actually the most likely destination is going to be the champion chase. But we also had Lee saying, and he refers to Altior's age, I love a move on, a sort of a nothing to see here tweet. So this is, he's saying, he's a 9-year-old now, so he's not going to improve. If the handicapper was right, and he had to improve to beat Surname on ratings, just got beat by the better improving horse, move on.
Simple as. If life was just like that, Lee, it'd be just wonderful, wouldn't it? Let's just all keep moving forward.
Yeah.
I like your theory, but he's a 9-year-old, but I still think Altior, there's more big races in him. When Cotto Star won his last King George, he wouldn't have won the Tingle Creek, but he was still good enough to win the King George.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Let's have a look what Paul Nichols thinks. He tends to agree with you. This is what he's thinking. He's kind of getting into Nicky's head, isn't he?
He's been hanging around with Alex Ferguson too long, hasn't he?
That's exactly how it comes across.
Yeah.
Nicky is Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul's
Sir Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so that's our thoughts on Altior. And Lee, I know you want us to move on, but, you know, this is the wrong place. This is not a place for the incurious. This show is for the curious. Just saying. Right, Lorena. Let's move on to Lorena. This is your arena here, because she was, you know her very well. You rode her in the Champion Hurdle. She's now gone novice chasing. She made her debut at the weekend. What did you think?
I thought she was brilliant. She always jumped like a chaser, which was probably going to be a minus for her in a Champion Hurdle anyway, but Paul has been delighted with her schooling all season. She jumped super. Manila Indo is a dual grade one winner, albeit at 3 miles, and she just simply had way too much speed for him. You see down the back. Now, I thought actually Rachel Blackmore gave the runner-up a really good ride too. It was back in distance for him. He jumped a little high in novice earlier, but as they run downhill to the third last fence and Paul gives Lorena the opposite to go on the outside, she jumps that well and the race is over. Mm. Now, the opposition behind are only okay horses, but this mare jumps the second last and the last, like they're the first and second. Nudge that, but you see how quick she got her feet out. That's heavy ground, 2.5 miles. A fresh horse gets your feet out that quick. She got them out ultra quick, flew the last. But, you know, Rachel knew the game was up early in the straight, hasn't knocked the runner up round, and he'll be a big player in 3 mile chases too.
Absolutely. Manila Indo, who's in second, is now second favourite for, or joint second favourite for the RSA Insurance Chase, and you can definitely see why that is. Obviously, he was the Albert Bartlett winner last season, so he's already shown an aptitude for Cheltenham. Lorena, the point about Lorena is she's got the £7 mare's allowance. Now, that brought her into Champion Hurdle consideration over hurdles. Let's have a look at the Champion Hurdle and see how she hurdled. She was a bit airy, wasn't she?
She jumped a bit high, but I never ever felt that I was going to beat Mellon. From the time we jumped the second hurdle, Mellon, Paul Townham was just going better than me, and I never thought I was going to beat him, and I didn't beat him. You know, missed the third last, but I'm running on fumes and trying to not commit her. I tried to move in there to see if I could keep Mark Walsh tight, and he just kind of moved me out of the way. But for whatever reason, I don't think she ran a race. I don't know if it was 2 miles, not enough jumping, whatever, but to me on the day, I was never going to beat Mellon. The winner absolutely bolted in, and he's a huge loss to the Champion Hurdle picture. Mellon has subsequently got beaten in a 2 mile novice chase, but look, she was an out and out chaser. She has gone chasing now, and I think the way she jumps fences, I can see Willie's point about dropping her back if you wanted to. Mm. There's 8 hurdles in the Champion Hurdle, there's 13 fences in the Arkle. I could see why he would say come back. Footpad did it. Champagne Fever was a supreme winner, but I could see why he would say come back.
Immediately after she won, he was only talking about the new mare's Grade 2 chase that's going to be scheduled in the festival in 2021. He didn't actually mention any festival targets this time around. He's going to run her at the festival, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I'd say so. I would think so. I think she'll take on the Geldings in a Grade 1 at Christmas, be it Leopardstown, Limerick. The next mare's chase for her is Thurles. There's a mare's novice chase worth a few quid early in Thurles. Mm-hmm. In the new year, she may well go there, but I would think if she keeps winning, I could imagine I could see her at the festival.
Yeah, and in the Arkle.
Yeah, Willie have picked the weakest race, so Willie Mullins does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
if you're betting anti-post on Willie Mullins, is not much point. He'll wait till other horses drop away and races take shape before he'll make up his mind.
I think people are aware of Willie Mullins' bingo. Copyright another show, I appreciate. But Classical Dream, let's talk about Classical Dream, the Sable Companion, because this is the horse I expected to go chasing, actually, this season, and actually he's staying hurdling.
And I would have had the same argument with Willie. I'd have been all summer if I was riding Atom and Atom and Atom. Can we go chasing with this fella? But I suppose when Esport Dallin, unfortunately, got hurt or passed away, it did open the race up, and City Island is going chasing, who is the Ballymore winner. Mm-hmm. And Classical Dream looked the best novice hurdler, so you know Willie's opinion was he'll get one shot at the Champion Hurdle, that's where we'll go. Now, to me, the way he jumps, he has so much scope and power, but he does get up in the air. He will have to come down a bit, I think. Yeah. To be a Champion Hurdle horse, but the way of riding him suits a Champion Hurdle. I mean, look at this year's Champion Hurdle. You know, Bouvardaire is not a front runner. Charge is not a front runner. Salier is not a front runner. You look down through what the opposition are. Pentland Hills doesn't really front run. Fussell, Raffles, Course Sublime.
It's a really good point. Yeah. Let's have a look at his comeback. He was favourite to win the Morgiana. Actually, Saldier, his stable companion, won it. We've highlighted him right from the very start. Willie was mentioning afterwards that the horse was very keen and kind of chucked himself at the first.
He did, but look, the way he's carrying on like that, he did that in Cheltenham, that's just him. And he can do it every second morning at home as well. That is just his characteristics. But he took off at the set at the first hurdle, like, the hurdle wasn't even in sight. How he got there shows you the power he has, and it's actually the elevation he goes, the height he went, that's really what gets him there, and then momentum takes him over. But I just think, let's watch him here and out. It's not a slick flick of a champion hurdler.
And we're about to see a horse who
same,
does flick.
And the same there, even when he's landing a fraction static, not landing like a horse that's sprinting through the air. Now, I do think Sharjah completely underperformed. I think Saldier delivered on the promise he had shown behind Espoir Dallin and an ace and quickens up really well. But, and a big but, is the grey, Petit Mouchoir.
Had the run of things.
Yeah, and Punchestown is that kind of track. If you can get the run of it in front, it's worth anything to you.
And he's not, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was capable of putting up a decent performance.
No, it wasn't that long ago, but it was still, to me, had the markings of a horse that would maybe have been coming down the ratings to win a big handicap. Not go that close again in a grade one.
It was kind of like a first time out type race, wasn't it?
It was, and I think they all have to improve. Classical Dream has to jump slicker. Saldier has to back it up.
Okay, we've got 3 minutes left, Ruby, and I know that there are three horses that you particularly wanted to highlight, and we're actually going to start. Good contrast, actually, in terms of hurdling compared with Classical Dream, and this is Cor Sublime, who is a four-year-old hurdling, and he's returned and done this at Down Royal.
Yeah, if you watch David Russell's body language here, when he just leant there, goes to length and the horse realises that stride's not there and sits back up, how quick that horse comes back underneath him and flicks the top. He is a real hurdler who knows what he's doing. I thought this was a really taken performance. He showed terrific gears, but I loved his jumping. Like, this champion hurdle horse should wrap the top bar the way he did. They should be knocking top. They should come in with orange, the orange paint all over their joints. That's what they should be doing. He does it, and look, Coco Beach was second. The form, he has to improve, but maybe we're giving 4-year-olds come stroke 5-year-olds a chance because of last year. But his trying form won't do. Pendle Hills is a better horse, but I just thought he was better now.
Odd race, the Triumph last year, I think. I love the way he hurdled.
Yeah, me too.
How about the Cardis? He has come back and downed Apple's Jade.
Yeah, he has, and it was a good performance. But I think Patrick Mullins was adamant that we stayed hurdling with this horse this year instead of going chasing and then deciding three quarters of the way through the year that's not working out for a third time. But he looked super this day, travelled super. Yeah, jumping, he's been in and out with him. He's fallen a few times, mostly over fences, but he has fallen over hurdles as well. But I just think being kept over hurdles, if you can get him jumping like that, low and slick. Now, he is brave at the last, but the way he quickened up, he's a dual grade one win, a novice. Yawbar got brought down in the Ballymore. I think he's a fair horse.
I think he's a very decent horse, but that, you know, that's very characteristic of him. It's sort of, if you know the card as well, you've had he's coming to last, coming to last, hold tight.
Yeah, it is, but this is a one horse division. It's Paisley Park, and they're looking for something to take him on. He'll be following Paisley Park, and has a turn of foot.
I am more accustomed to seeing Bacardi's doing something like this, which was in the Stayers Hurdle 2 seasons ago. I take the point that he
at the last, and it wasn't me.
You said it.
He just gets too high behind, but that's from coming back from chasing, and that's gone.
So if he has a whole run of it of hurdling, you know, he'll have a better technique. Maybe. And you're actually now...
He's huge value. I just think he's value.
Okay. Last thing, you're going to put up a horse. You're actually going to put an anti-post bet.
I am.
Which horse is it?
I saw you doing it last week with Altior, so I was taken with Tyne Hill when I saw him last. And I think he could develop into an Albert Bartlett horse. I think he's a great style of racing for a 3-mile novice hurdle. He already has 2 runs under his belt. And Albert Bartlett winner needs a considerable amount of runs. And I just like the way he did it. And he's that Cheltenham bumper form. Envoy Allen, Blue Sari, Abracababra's behind him. Cadabras even, he's in the middle. I just think this is a very good horse, and I think Albert Bartlett is value.
I think crucially you've also got a runner there, because I'm sure he's going to end up in the Albert Bartlett and not in the Ballymore. It just the way he runs here says that.
Says it to me anyway.
Yeah, sees it out really, really nicely. So one of the key points about anti-post betting, get a race, get a horse that's actually going to run the race, which obviously is something that I haven't necessarily managed to do with Altior. So that was our first Road to Cheltenham. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you join us this time next week.
Thank you.